When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
You know, I find Yelp reviews fascinating. I don't know that I have ever left a Yelp review. We've done stories about lawsuits and shops suing people to take down their Yelp review. But I don't think I've ever left a Yelp review. And then I see a story that talks about this year's top Yelp restaurants, the top 100 U.S. restaurants, according to Yelp. So I decided to, you know, peruse the list. You know me, I love lists. And at number 9, you'd think was number 1. I know you're guessing. Gino's Deli Stoppin' By in San Antonio, Texas. Nope, number 9. Dino, the Yelp review for this particular restaurant: we tried their Philly cheesesteak, smokestack, Rabbi Scott style ribeye steak, the pastrami sandwiches. Everything was on point. I'm convinced there isn't a single bad thing on the menu. And then it goes on. So that's number 9, right? And you're thinking, okay, well, that's number 9. And then number 1 has got to be Sierra Subs and Salads in Three Rivers, California. Nope, that's number 8. I know. It's a spectacular sandwich shop with the views of the sequoias. Yes, people stop in on their way to go to Sequoia National Park. And they also have tremendous clam chowder. Okay, so those aren't number 1. Who are you going to choose now? Oh, I know, you're thinking about Broken Mouth, Lee's Homestyle in Los Angeles, California. Well, that was a pretty good guess. Lee was number 1 last year, but not this year. No, sir. Number 6. I know. Lee has dropped way down. The vibes here are a perfect blend of Los Angeles swagger and charming Hawaiian hospitality. Now let's talk about the beef plate. And it continues. So, I mean, it's still in the top 10, but it's not number 1 like it was last year. Sorry about it. So then your next guest, I guess, would be another California restaurant, Sunnyside Kitchen in Escondido, California. No, good guess, but number 3. Sunnyside Kitchen has crispy cheese-encrusted grilled sandwiches. I will say that the picture of the cheese-encrusted grilled sandwiches looks tremendous. Well, they all do, actually. Every picture from all of these top Yelp review restaurants look fantastic. Number 1 this year in the top Yelp reviews restaurant is Tamerico in Tucson, Arizona. Congratulations, Tamerico. It's a vegetarian Mexican cuisine even a meat eater could love. I will say, I doubt that line. But okay, if you say so, I'll believe you. I was hesitant, one Yelper says, to try this place since I saw it was vegetarian and vegan. I really love meat. But wow, this place is good. Is it? Congratulations. Apparently, yes, according to Yelp reviews. So if you leave Yelp reviews, you helped Tamerica in Tucson, Arizona, becoming the number 1 Yelp-reviewed restaurant in America in 2023. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. According to a new Gallup survey or poll, an estimated $1.9 trillion is lost in productivity each year from U.S. companies by disgruntled employees. Apparently, Americans are feeling detached from their employees or from their employers in the aftermath of the pandemic, which is probably why I just read a story about Chipotle announcing new financial and mental health employee perks intended to beef up staffing as it heads into its busiest time of the year. Yeah, you don't want disgruntled employees at Chipotle. You just don't. I guess March and May is burrito season. I didn't know that. But according to the story, it is. So consumers are so hungry for Chipotle between March and May, they're going to hire 19,000 new workers up from last year. Wow. Okay. Good for them. So the new plan gives employees 6 free sessions with a mental health professional. I know, Doc, I'm feeling really disgruntled and I can barely make my Chipotle sandwich. You can go there 6 times on the company. Match up to 4% of an employee's salary through 401k contributions if they make student loan payments. Offer access to Cred AI, a Visa credit card designed to help users build credit. And SoFi, a personal finance platform. Well, isn't that nice? I mean, I know that the restaurant has, according to this, long trouble hiring young workers and keeping them. And with increased prices around the country, I know they specifically mentioned California with the minimum wage now $20 an hour, making it more and more difficult to hire employees. Really? Why? I thought at $20 an hour, everything would be fine. Nope, that's not it. Huh. Okay. All right. Maybe the employees that are getting the boot from In-N-Out in Oakland, California, can go take a look at Chipotle. In-N-Out is going to close its Oakland location. I believe this is the first time that they've opened and closed the location. It's busy and profitable, but there's too much crime. And the company said, we can't stay open. Our top priority must be the safety and well-being of our customers and associates. We cannot ask them to visit or work in an unsafe environment. Okay, so good luck to the In-N-Out employees. I know In-N-Out said that impacted employees can transfer to other In-N-Out locations in the Bay Area. And if they don't want to do that, they can choose to receive a severance package. All right, thank you very much. Or they could go see if Chipotle is ready to take them on as an employee. It's not the employee's fault that we know of that the restaurant, the In-N-Out Burger restaurant, is regularly victimized by car break-ins, property damage, theft, and armed robberies. Sounds like a fun place to go. Just stop in and get me a double-double and hope that I don't get robbed. Yeah, big surprise this place is closing. I guess everybody can just kind of hope and pray and wish that they win the lotto. There was no winner in the Powerball drawing, so the next drawing will be Saturday. And Saturday night, the 27th of January, 2024, for $164 million as the jackpot, $78.8 million cash payout. And then we have a drawing on Friday, tomorrow, for those of you listening live. Today is the 25th of January, 2024. Friday, you have the Mega Millions, worth $285 million jackpot with $135.1 million cash payout. So good luck to everyone involved, especially the employees that are getting the boot at the old In-N-Out Burger.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Let's say you are one of the, really thousands, if not millions of people out looking for a new job now. You're going to want to be clean. You're going to want to not have dry skin. You're going to want to smell nice. Not overpowering, but smell nice. And that's where my man, Quinn Pittman, the Goat King, comes in with his real soap. Old school, hand-poured, made from scratch. And old school means the soap cleans while moisturizing in a way most commercial bars simply don't. And that's by design, by the way. Handmade is the difference between, let's say, homemade and store-bought bread. You know the difference with that. That's exactly the difference between store-bought and handmade soap. Go to qpgoatsoap.com and find out what Quinn does for you. Most people, you buy soap from the store, you don't realize what it's doing to your skin. Store-bought soap will get you clean. But while it's doing so, it's also drying out your skin. And then, of course, you have to keep buying products from that same company, by the way, that will make your skin soft. Huh. Weird how that works out. Soap doesn't do that when it's made the right way with goat's milk. And that's what Quinn Pittman, the Goat King, discovered when he first started learning about soap. And he's been making it the right way ever since. So if you want your skin to be clean, but also to retain its moisture, you need goat soap. And you'll want Quinn's goat soap. Quinn and his family, very proud of their product, and they want you to know about it. And Quinn is, he's a young entrepreneur. He's done something most kids his age wouldn't even, or maybe couldn't even do. And that's why he is now crowned the Goat King. I've used the soap. I love it. Check it out. QPGoatSoap.com. QPGoatSoap.com. You can use the offer code Jeffy. Get 10% off of your total order. QPGoatSoap.com. Don't forget to use that offer code Jeffy. Take a little bit off. Everybody needs a break from time to time. QPGoatSoap.com. Okay, let's talk about a couple of things. It's under the heading of things that didn't happen. Okay, so I'm reading a story about Beverly Johnson. Now, she's the first black model to be on the cover of Vogue almost 50 years ago. She's 71 years old now. Now, she revealed in an interview, and she's out hawking her new show, by the way, her one-woman show coming to Off-Broadway titled Beverly Johnson in Vogue. So she's out hawking that. So she's got to be relevant and try something to say, hey, look at me, look at me. She claims in this interview that she went to Eileen Ford's 90th birthday party back in 2012. Okay, so that was quite a while ago, and Eileen is already in Who Died Today. We didn't have a Who Died Today back in 2014, but she would have been in it had we done it. And her friends were talking about the old days at this party in 2012 when someone asked if she remembered a certain hotel draining the pool back in the 80s. Okay. All right, so they were at a party, they're at a hotel, and the story is she's getting this secondhand if she remembered that there was the pool that was drained at a hotel they were at, I don't know, back in the 80s. Because everywhere you went in the 80s, when a black person jumped in the pool, they would drain the pool. Am I right? She said, I was shocked. I had no idea this happened. And she didn't know about it back then, but she's sure that it was racism. Okay, so let's say, for example, it happened. We don't know why the pool was drained, if it happened at all. Which, by the way, don't forget, we're in the segment of things that didn't happen, which I find very difficult to believe. But she's sure that if it happened, it had to be racism. And she won't name the hotel. Of course not. She's not looking to get sued. Aren't ya? Okay. All right. So I know that she was, one of the first modeling world's person of color. And she talks about how Lauren Hutton always went to bat for her and how great it was. But there's no way. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. Now, she's 71. Could it have happened back in the 50s? Sure. You know, like when she was a little kid? Absolutely. It happened. We know the stories of it happening, which was just, remarkably insane and stupid. In the 80s, though? No way. Stop it. Thanks for coming to the interview, though, Beverly. We appreciate it. And, oh, by the way, what was that you were talking about? Oh, you've got your one-woman show on Off-Broadway opening entitled Beverly Johnson in Vogue. Really looking forward to that. Okay, number two on our list of things that didn't happen. So I see where Representative Barbara Lee from California, who is a black woman, an African-American woman, a lady of color. She was on this is CNN. This is not MSNBC. Sorry. I don't want to besmirch MSNBC when I'm besmirching CNN. So she's on CNN, and she tells a story that I'm sorry. No, in fact, you know what? I'll just let her tell you the story.
These are not little kinks, first of all. Racism, institutional racism, is in the DNA of this country.
Uh-huh.
When you look at what has taken place, look at our Native Americans, the genocide of Native Americans. When you look at what has taken place as it relates to African Americans, the 250 years plus of enslaving African Americans.
Tell us about it.
And then you look at the disparities now in our community in terms of health care, unemployment, the wealth gap, housing. You can't tell me that systemic racism does not exist. It's not just a little kink. Secondly, you have personal racism, which is hard to address, but I'll give you one little story.
Oh, will
you? Shows you why we need to understand that. I don't think she really understands racism. I was walking from the House building on Capitol Hill to the Capitol, and a man, a white guy, stopped me and told me I could not get into the members' elevator. And, you know, we have pens, and I was going to vote. And he blocked me from getting into the elevator and told me I was not a member of Congress, and it was for members only. I said, sir, I'm a member of Congress. And I showed him my pen, and he said, whose pen did you steal? Now, this is an example of what personal racism is and how people of color constantly have to deal with this each and every day.
Things that didn't happen. Okay. All right. So I just have to stop for one moment. There's no way that I believe that happened. All right. Let's just begin with that right away. Now let's back up a little bit and say, okay, I wonder if it did happen. Did it happen that way? You're the ones. You're the people, the Democrats in Congress, who want to shore up Capitol security after the day democracy almost died. So you've got special security of people in and out of the Capitol building. So let's say that you were walking in the Capitol and you were heading to the members-only elevator, and a security person, a white male, saw you, didn't recognize you, didn't know that you were a congresswoman, and said, hey, that's a members-only. So you said immediately it's racism, instead of thinking, oh, he doesn't recognize me, he doesn't know I'm a congressperson, I showed him my pin. Now, if... And then he said, go ahead, whose pen did you steal? As a joke, which would be a bad joke to her. He should know better. But let's say it happened like that. It had nothing to do with racism. I don't believe it. Now, let that having been said, I don't believe it happened at all. There's no way. I'm sorry. No. If she's walking to the members-only elevator, you know she has her stupid pin on because she's so proud that she's got her stupid congressperson pin. She wears it everywhere she goes because that's her mark. I'm a congresswoman. And so that's her. You know she's got it on. So there's no way. If she's walking toward the elevator, unless, of course, you know, it's wintertime and she has a jacket over her other, her daily clothes, that it's covering up the pin, she may have to show the pin. It's just incredible how the first thing that we're thinking of, yeah, that's racism. That's racism. Only through your eyes. Only through your eyes. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. What is happening at the Four Seasons Hotel? More specifically, the Four Seasons Westlake Village Hotel, located in California, which is in the state that Britney Spears lives in. I may have to think twice about stopping in at the Four Seasons and staying there, when I travel, because the Four Seasons, they are, I guess, a luxury chain of hotels. They're definitely top notch. They're no Motel 6, okay? We'll just leave it there. She has been banned from Four Seasons Westlake Village in California. I know, because apparently she was a topless at the pool. Wait, what? Yeah, she was topless at the pool. And according to this story, which I find hard to believe, another thing that I think things that didn't happen, although, it's Britney, so I believe that it happened. They say that guests were irritated to the point that she needed to be banned from the Four Seasons at Westlake Village. Okay, so this Four Seasons, when Westlake Village is going to kick Britney Spears out because she's topless at the pool because guests are irritated? I don't think so. There's no pictures. I haven't seen any pictures. I haven't seen any videos. And is it believable that it could happen? 100%. But do I believe it? It's very hard to me to believe that a Four Seasons luxury chain would kick out Britney Spears for being topless at the pool. Would they say, hey, Brit, maybe you put a top on? Some of the guests are, a little irritated, that's all. But do they kick her out? No way. And California has a new resident where he probably may stay at that Four Seasons where Britney was reportedly kicked out. The Four Seasons at Westlake Village in Los Angeles. Jim Harbaugh, the now former head coach of the University of Michigan Wolverines, is now the head NFL football coach for the Los Angeles Chargers. He's decided to take on the team. I guess it's a 5-year deal. Michigan offered him, I think, $11.5 million a year to coach. I spit on $11.5 million to coach. Now I thought he was going to be making like $15 or $16 million a year, to especially in California. I mean, the taxes, well, Michigan too, but. Apparently, it's being reported now that he is the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, 5-year deal, $12.5 million a year. That's still pretty good. I'm not shaking a stick at the $12.5 million a year. I will say that that doesn't make him the highest coach in the NFL, the highest paid coach in the NFL. Okay. And so, Mike Tomlin, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, still makes $12.5 million a year. Sean Payton, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan makes more than $12.5 million a year. These coaches are fighting over tens of millions of dollars. The players are fighting over hundreds of millions of dollars. It's fascinating to me because I am fighting over tens of dollars, and I can't turn the money spigot off. I wish I could. I am looking forward to the NFL championship games this weekend too, with the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Actually, the Chiefs are going to Baltimore, and the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Detroit Lions. Actually, the Detroit Lions are going to San Francisco. Should be fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Both games on Sunday. Awesome. Jim Harbaugh's brother, obviously the coach of the Baltimore Ravens, who I believe makes less than Jim now by $500,000 or so, but he probably will pull in more than Jim with the playoff bonuses. I digress. So good luck to all those teams. Think I know who's going to win? Yes. Does it matter to me who's going to win? Not really. I'm just hoping for some really good games. And I think both of these games should be fantastic. It's probably going to end up Baltimore-San Francisco in the Super Bowl, but you never know. You never know.
Oh,
Well, the first U.S. execution using nitrogen gas is expected to be carried out today, the 25th of January, 2024, in Alabama, after the Supreme Court rejected arguments that the procedure was at risk of being carried out incorrectly. The inmate, 58-year-old Kenneth Smith, was convicted in a 1988 murder-for-hire plot. We know that the vast majority of U.S. executions over the past five decades utilized lethal injection. Alabama approved the use of nitrogen gas as an execution method in 2018 amid the shortage of drugs required for lethal injection and mounting criticism over the method. It doesn't matter what method people we use for executions, it's going to be criticized. So the subject dies of nitrogen hypoxia. We talked about this before. While the non-toxic gas makes up 78% of the ambient air, 100% nitrogen gas lacks any oxygen, effectively leading to suffocation. Now, they tried to execute Smith in 2022, but prison officials called out the procedure because, yeah, we couldn't get the line in. We just kept looking for it. We kept poking the needle in. We couldn't find a vein. Man, I hate that. Here's a little tip from me to you. My first wife, my oldest son's mother, was a registered nurse. And some people have a tougher time than others getting needles in to get a shot or getting IVs or whatever the case is, draw blood. And, you know, sometimes it's the nurse doing it or it's the, you know, the bloodtician, whatever they call themselves. I think it is bloodtician is their official name. And they have a tough time getting the needles in. If you have that issue and it happens, like, let's say two times, you give them two chances and they can't land the needle, you tell them, stop, find someone else. Don't let them keep banging into your arm with the stupid needles or your hands or whatever. Stop. Find somebody who can do it right. You can't do that. You can't say, whoa, hey, hold on there, bloodtician. Settle down, okay? Go find me another bloodtician that may be able to do this job. You can't do that. Apparently, there wasn't another bloodtician at the Alabama Correctional Facility, so they couldn't do it. Not funny. It's not funny at all. Hey, I thought you were going to die today. Yeah, they couldn't put the needle in. So I'm here, still here on death row. So we'll see if my man Kenneth Smith is on Who Died Today tomorrow. But today we have Who Died Today. Walter Calmatti. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Walter Calmatti. A film executive for Embassy Pictures at New World Entertainment, who also ran business affairs for Felix the Cat Productions for more than 30 years, has passed away. You talk about Hollywood, that's this guy, Walter E. Calmatti Sr., Embassy Pictures at New World Entertainment, and ran business affairs for Felix the Cat Productions for more than 30 years, has died. Yeah, he was 85 years of age. The family confirmed, don't start, because the family confirmed he died of heart failure. If it was anything else, they would have said something. So Walter E. Calmatti Sr., rest in peace, dead at the age of 85. Then we have longtime award-winning journalist Charles Osgood. If you are older than, I don't know, 10, you know who Charles Osgood was. He was CBS Sunday Morning for 22 years. He was the host of a long-running radio program, The Osgood File. He died at his home in New Jersey. He was 91. The family said the cause of death was dementia. Very sad. I do not wish that on anyone. He worked for CBS News 45 years. 45 years he worked for CBS News. Incredible. And so many people loved him. And, you know, he wore his bow tie. And apparently, now, according to this, he was the one who started I'll See You on the radio. I don't know that that's true. That's what they say. I'll see you on the radio. Okay. I mean, this guy was amazing. And he used to sing and produce shows, played the piano, played all these instruments. He did orchestras with the New York Pops and the Boston Pops and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Guy was actually an incredible lyricist and a really, really, really smart man. And I'm very sad that he has passed away. Charles Osgood, dead at the age of 91. Then we have Melanie, the singer who performed at Woodstock in 1969. Her song, Brand New Key. Oh my gosh, Brand New Key. I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. Now, she claimed in an interview not long ago that that song was the bane of her existence for years. Believe me, Melanie, I understand. But she also had the Lay Down Candles in the Rain song in the early 70s, which was a huge hit for her. And everybody lit candles at all her shows, and she was... Ugh. And so she is now dead at the age of 76. She was working on her 32nd album. Wow. Okay. She was putting an album together, a Secondhand Smoke, for the Cleopatra label. That had to have been her label. 32nd album. Incredible. So, Melanie, dead at the age of 76. Now, don't start looking at me like that, because they didn't say any information about what caused her death. So, if there was what you're thinking about, they would have said something. Right. So the children are going to honor her. We were supposed to light a candle yesterday at 10 p.m. Central. I would guess that if you didn't do it yesterday, if you missed the candle honoring Melanie, lighting a candle honoring Melanie and raising them high to illuminate the darkness and, you know, connect us all in remembrance of the extraordinary woman who, you know, was a mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, friend to so many people, wife, Melanie. You can do it anytime. I'm going to go out on a limb and say on behalf of the family. I shouldn't do that. I'm going to say this is not on behalf of the family. This is just me speaking for the family. Okay. Just light a candle and remember Melanie. I'm sure they'll be okay with it. So next time you hear in some movie, or some radio show playing, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. I got a brand new key. Or you got a brand new pair of roller skates. I got a brand new key. Just know that Melanie is now dead at the age of 76. Rest in peace. Then I got to reach out and say I got a lot of messages yesterday from the Who Died Today segment where I mentioned Uga X. Now, Uga X, known as Q, is the Georgia Bulldog mascot, or the former Georgia Bulldog mascot that died. And they announced it, saying he died peacefully in his sleep. I didn't say anything else, okay? You all messaged me, asking me, thinking that it was this, thinking that it was that. They didn't say, okay? All they said was he died peacefully in his sleep. So don't look at me like that. Uga X is still dead, the age of 10, a former Georgia mascot. You may have known him as Q. People fondly knew him as that. And it just says that he died in his sleep. Okay, that's what I said yesterday. That's what I'm saying today. Stop thinking what you're thinking. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. I saw this weekend, and I've been meaning to talk to you about this. Have you heard about the new British weapon? And I'm hoping that we have it as well here in the United States, known as Dragonfire. It consists of a powerful laser that can target multiple drones at once and bring them down reliably without the use of traditional artillery. Okay. Early estimates indicate it's accurate enough to hit a coin from more than half a mile away. A preliminary test conducted recently in Scotland produced encouraging results. Officials are now hoping to move to the next phase in order to address current threats. What could that be? Could that be the Houthis with backing from Iran? Could that be no? Probably not. Just other threats. That's all. One of the major problems thus far when it comes to targeting drones is that it's been very costly. In some cases, military strikes costing millions of dollars have been approved against aircraft costing just a few hundred bucks. Right. So Dragonfire is the weapon that everyone would love, because the weapon itself costs a lot of money, $126 million, they claim. But once it's up and running, the cost of firing it is negligible, whatever you'd like. So sending up the light speed beam for 10 seconds costs about the same amount as running a heater for an hour, and the average deployment is less than $13. So according to this, the U.S. is pursuing similar weaponry. You think? Russia claims they have the same type of device, though there's no evidence supporting any of that except what we know about Dragonfire. So that is an amazing weapon, and I'm sure that there are going to be more like Dragonfire in the very, very near future. Kind of scary, actually. Makes one wonder, should one believe in God, doesn't it? I see where the Pew Research Center has reported the number of Americans with no religious affiliation reached nearly 30%. That's up 12% from 2007. I guess we're calling them the nuns. Okay, the N-O-N-E-S. Yeah, definitely not the N-U-N-S, I'll tell you that. The nuns, N-O-N-E-S, are people who are diverse, young, and left-leaning individuals. Most believe in God or another higher power, do they? But few go to religious services. Many of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, say they were raised in religious households, but developed mixed feelings about religion's impact on society. About 43% said religion does more bad than good, while 41% said it does equal amounts of good and bad. Other nuns, N-O-N-E-S, say they dislike religious organizations and had a bad experience with them. So watch yourself out there, because the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, is growing. And I don't think that's good. You could quote me on that. I don't think that's good. All right, I'll give you the joke of the day today. Made me laugh yesterday. I saw this on one of the social media accounts. You can follow me on my social media accounts, at JeffyJFR on X, Jeff Fisher Radio on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow me on Cameo, at JeffyJFR. You can order a Cameo from me, at JeffyJFR. Just go to Cameo and tell me what you want. And happy, glad, sad, mad, or mean, and I'll do it for you. It's not free, but you can have that happen on Cameo. You can email the show anytime, chewingthefat@theblaze.com, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. Oh, and you can follow me on my YouTube channel, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher, as well. So I saw this joke yesterday on one of the social media accounts that I perused during the day, and it made me laugh. You know the movie Forrest Gump, okay? And we just got done talking about the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, but there are plenty of people that do believe that, when you die, you go to heaven. It's funny how that happens. Anyway, so this joke is when Forrest Gump dies and he stood in front of St. Peter at the pearly gate. Now you'd think, this is just me off the top, this isn't part of the joke, that if Forrest Gump went to the pearly gates, St. Peter would say, "Forrest, go on in, take care of yourself, hobble your Forrest Gump butt on in there." But no. Forrest went to the gates, and St. Peter said, "Welcome, Forrest. We've heard a lot about you. Unfortunately, it's getting pretty crowded up here." Is it, though? Is it? This was from a couple of years ago. I'm guessing the crowd is, maybe thinned out a little. But anyway, Forrest, we've heard a lot about you. Unfortunately, it's getting pretty crowded up here. And we find that we now have to give people an entrance exam before we let them in. Okay, said Forrest. Hope it's not too hard. I've already been through a test. My mama used to say, life is like a final exam. It's hard. I know, Forrest, but this test is only three questions, and here they are. Question number one, which 2 days of the week begin with the letter T? Question number two, how many seconds are in a year? And number three is, what is God's first name? Well, sir, said Forrest, the first one is easy. Which 2 days of the week begin with the letter T? Today and tomorrow. St. Peter looked surprised and said, well, that really wasn't the answer I was looking for, but you have a point. I'll give you credit for that answer. Next question, said Forrest, how many seconds are in a year? Well, 12. 12, said St. Peter. Yes, sir. January 2nd, February 2nd, March 2nd. St. Peter stopped him, said, I see what you mean. I'll go ahead and give you credit for that one, too. And the last question, said Forrest, what is God's first name? It's Andy. And St. Peter looked at him with some kind of shock in his eyes and said, Andy? How did you come up with Andy? And Forrest says, I learned it in church. We used to sing about it. And then Forrest broke into song. Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy tells me I'm his own. St. Peter just opened the gate to heaven and said, run, Forrest, run. I know.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.